Greetings in the name of the Creator who made trees.
Amen. Amen.
So I was struck initially by one thing when I read John's Gospel for today. In a Gospel that identifies Jesus most in metaphorical and cosmological ways, these big otherworldly descriptions or metaphors, the specific attention to Jesus' fleshy wounds here seem almost out of place. Why root Jesus in his very human flesh and wounds when doubt is so close? Why would John's Jesus want to prove himself in this way? By the marks and wounds, the memory of this very human, unjust torture and suffering. By the weakness of the human body. Why not return again to metaphor to respond to Thomas's doubts and forego drawing attention to his body at all? I am the true vine, he says earlier in the gospel. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am not of this world. I am the bread of life, the bread from heaven. In the beginning was the Word. Or if it had to be an enfleshed response, why not respond to Thomas's doubt with something more worldly and outstanding, like conjuring a lightning bolt, or making the skies open, inviting a chorus of otherworldly angelic voices, like our choir, or bringing dinosaurs back to life? Something more powerful with more wow factor and more, look how powerful I am, even death has no power over me. Don't we ask at times these things from God? Heal my sister, my friend, me, fix climate change, bring my brother back, stop this war. Does the fact that they keep going or keep getting sicker prove God's absence? Instead of metaphor or wow factor, Jesus changes the focus of the disbelief. He turns it to something so disappointingly human. Jesus uses his very broken skin, congealed cells, and scabs to respond to Thomas's doubts. Here is exactly how I suffered. Here is where the pain felt the deepest. Here is where the spear went. Here is where the nails pierced. Look at these marks, this broken body, speared and pierced, these bruises and bleeding, this weakness and wound. Touch these and believe. How would these marks of human death and woundedness prove the Christ of life? This month and next, a group from the stewardship team is raising money to plant native trees on Oahu. I have mentioned what I'm going to share a little bit before, but what little I know of the subject, biblical myrrhs, which were often medicinal, including the balm of Gilead, come from tree resins. They are often harvested by cutting into the tree bark, which causes the sap to ooze out. And the sap is left to dry on the tree for several months before it is harvested. Humans have used these for millennia, for fragrance and for healing. From another being's woundedness comes our own healing, perhaps echoes of the gospel written into the world. Trees can take from the wounds of a changing climate and make of it breath of our lives. We planted a tree and it grew up. The tree's leaves helped clean the air and we breathed better. A poem of W.S. Merwin titled Place goes like this. On the last day of the world, I would want to plant a tree. What for? Not for the fruit. The tree that bears the fruit is not the one that was planted. I want the tree that stands in the earth for the first time, with the sun already going down and the water touching its roots. In the earth full of the dead and the clouds passing one by one over its leaves. Why plant a tree on the last day of the world? Luther wrote of the same impulse. Why point to mortal wounds to prove the Christ of life? Why this? I don't know. But what does this make of our own failing and ailing bodies, our own tragedies and pains, or those of our loved ones? Our broken bones, our torn skin, our bleeding, our broken and burning and turbulent world. Why plant a tree on the last day of the world? Because Christ has been here too. We are not alone in these most painful and broken places, and they will not destroy us. Touch these wounds and believe. Welcome to Rise for our hymn of the day.